Will you please turn to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 3. Just one verse. Verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partaker of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus. And then will you please turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. We'll read from verse 13 through verse 26. Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. And when Jesus was come into the part of Caesarea Philippi, he demanded of his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some, John the Baptist, and others, Elias, and others again, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He says to them, But ye, who do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answering said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjuna, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and Hades' gate shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatsoever thou mayest bind upon the earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatsoever thou mayest loose on the earth shall be loose in the heavens. Then he enjoined his disciples that they should not say to no man that he was the Christ. From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go away to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised. And Peter taking him, saying, God be favorable to thee, Lord, this shall in no wise be unto thee. But turning round, he said to Peter, Get away behind me, Satan, thou art an offense to me, for thy mind is not on the things that are of God, but on the things that are of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall desire to save his life, that is, his soul, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he should gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, how we praise and thank thee for thy very presence with us. We thank Thee for giving us the opportunity, the privilege of remembering Thee at Thy table. Lord, how Thou hast loved us, and loved us to the uttermost. We do worship Thee. We do proclaim Thy name. Thou art truly our Lord, our King, and our all. We want to give Thee all the glory and the praise that is Thy due. And dear Lord, we do thank Thee that Thou art still with us and Thou art willing to speak to us through Thy Word. So we ask Thee, Lord, that Thy Spirit will breathe upon Thy Word and make it living and operative in each of our lives. May Thy Word not only test us, examine us, encourage us, and fill us, that we may be where Thou want us to be. Lord, may our lives on earth glorify Thee, fulfill Thy purpose. So we just commit this time into Your hand, trusting Thy Holy Spirit to do His work to the glory of God. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we do thank the Lord that we are partakers of the heavenly calling. Think of that. We who were dead in sins and transgressions, we who were enemies of God, and yet God, in His great mercy, He called us with a heavenly calling. When we receive such a high calling, a heavenly calling, it is fit for us to consider our confession. We do confess that our Lord Jesus is not only our apostle, He who came into this world, sent by God for a special mission to come to seek and to save the lost. We thank God that He is also our high priest. While He was on earth, He was our apostle. He accomplished this work of salvation on the cross. Now He is in heaven, but He is still working on our behalf. He is our high priest. The Bible said He makes intercession for us unceasingly, day and night, without ceasing, that He will be able to save those who come to Him to the uttermost. And this is our confession. So this morning I would like to share with brothers and sisters again on this good confession. You know, we are living at a very exciting moment, because the Bible tells us very clearly that we are living at a time when there is great shaking all over. Once God did shake the earth, the But now, he is shaking the heavens and the earth. This is a prelude of the second coming of our beloved Lord. But while we are living in this age, in this time of grace shaking, everything around us is shaken. Even our lives are shaken. That whatever may be shaken off will be shaken away. Nothing can remain. But only that which cannot be shaken, then there will remain and to receive the kingdom of God. So in a sense, brothers and sisters, I think we all realize we are living in a very troublous time. But in another sense, this is a thrilling time. This is a time that God is preparing us to enter into His kingdom gloriously. So whatever can be shaken off in our lives, sooner or later, will be shaken away. So that only that which cannot be shaken in our lives will remain, and we will be able to, by the grace of God, to enter into the kingdom of the heavens gloriously and richly. So this is the purpose of God. But when we are living in such a time, I think it is very important for every one of us to look at our foundation. It is the time for us to examine our foundation, to see if our foundation is solid, that can stand all the shakings, or whether there is some fault in our foundation, so that probably we will suffer some loss. So this morning I would like to share with you, dear brothers and sisters, something very basic and very fundamental. We want to examine our foundation to seek if we do have a good confession and how much we are faithful to that confession. Now, in order to approach this, we would not like to go through it from the theological standpoint. I think we have heard enough, too much. But we would like to approach this from the experiential viewpoint. How are we going to experience this good confession? And to see by experience how the Lord will lead us into that good confession. So to me, I feel there is nothing better than use some example. And the example that we would like to pick for this day is Peter. You know, Peter, he was formerly called Simon, son of Jonah. He was a Jew. He was a fisherman. But he was one of the Jewish people at that time who were looking for the Messiah. One day, his brother Andrew heard John the Baptist say, when our Lord Jesus was passing by, John the Baptist proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And hearing this, angel and his companion, John. They left John the Baptist and they followed the Lord Jesus. And the Lord turned back and said, now what are you doing? What do you want? You know, they gave the Lord a very strange answer. Where do you live? In other words, they want to know the Lord more. They heard that He was the Lamb of God. But they want to find it out how real it is. So they stay with the Lord Jesus that night and thank God. They came to know the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. And sure enough, you find angel went to find his brother, Simon, and led him to the Lord. And I think you all remember, it's recorded in John, the Gospel. You know, Simon, he was an outgoing person. We all have different temperament, brothers and sisters. I often say that is the marvel of God. Not only physically, we are all different. Even the twins. They may cheat other people, but not the parents. Everyone is different. But you know, there is another difference that we sometimes neglect, and that is our temperament. Temperament is the shape of our soul. Our soul has a shape. And it is represented by our temperament. Some are quick, some are slow, some are outgoing, some are inward. Everyone is different. But dear brothers and sisters, that is the marvel of creation. Do not try to imitate anybody else. What God has given you, the temperament, is the right one for you. And He can use that temperament for His glory. He will be in charge of your temperament. And that your temperament will serve God's purpose. But if we use our own temperament, then we will give God a disservice and cause damages. So, do not try to imitate anybody. Be yourself. We all have our different temperament. But thank God, no matter what our temperament is, we can experience our Lord Jesus just the same. Our experiences are different according to our different temperament. But what is behind our experience of the Lord is the same. So you find here is Simon. He was so different from his brother, Andrew. We know Andrew was a very quiet person, but very observant. He noticed among thousands of people a little boy who had some food. But Simon was very different. He was quick-tempered, outspoken, always at the front, without thinking. He would be talking. Now that's Simon. But you will notice something very strange. When he was brought to the Lord Jesus, you find he didn't say a word. Because when he came to the Lord Jesus, the Bible said, the Lord looked at him. And the word look, in the original Greek, is an intense looking. That is to say, our Lord Jesus looked him up and down and up and down. And when Simon was looked by the Lord in that way, he became speechless. Why? Because the Lord looked into him. And the Lord began to say, "Now you are Simon, but you shall be called Peter." In other words, he was naturally Simon, a man made of dust. But the Lord said, "You shall be called Peter." And Peter, in Greek, it means a small stone. Now, what is the difference between dust and stone? Stone is something solid. There is some element in the stone. Make it strong, solid, unchangeable. So you find that when he came to the Lord Jesus, the Lord looked at him and said, "You will be transformed." That's how Simon first met the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, in the gospel record, you find Simon or his brother, Andrew, they began to follow the Lord Jesus, but not in a constant way. Sometimes they were with the Lord Jesus, sometimes they were not, until John the Baptist was put into prison. And our Lord Jesus began his ministry in earnest. So he began to call disciples. And when he saw Simon and his brother, Andrew, they were casting the nets, the Lord called them, "Come and follow me." And they left the boat and followed the Lord. But this was not constant. Why? Because even though Simon began to follow the Lord Jesus to become his disciples, but as he was following the Lord, he discovered that he was an unfit. He was so much alike to his Lord. He considered himself as unable to be truly his disciples. So you remember in Luke chapter 5, when our Lord happened to come to his hometown. You know what he did? He went back to fishing. But the whole night he couldn't get anything. So the Lord used his boat to sit in his boat to preach to the people on the land because there were so many. And after he used Simon's boat, our Lord would never owe anybody. Because Simon was not completely his disciples. So the Lord was going to pay for using that boat. So our Lord told Simon, "Sail your boat out, and you will get the caught." Well, Simon said, "You are not a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. You may know something heavenly, but I know something earthly. What do you know about fishing?" But in order to please him, Simon said, "All right, I will do it, but I will not expect anything." There was no fish. But they went a long shout, they got a net full of fish. They had to call their partners to come, and he filled both boats. And when Simon saw this, he realized something. He realized that he was a sinner. But on the one hand, other hand, he realized the Lord can do something unnatural, supernatural. Now, if the Lord is able to give him such a net full of fishes out of nothing, surely the Lord is able to make him nothing out to be something. But he realized he was such an unfit. So you remember how he kneeled before the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Leave me." But in his heart, he wants to be accepted by the Lord. So the Lord looked upon the heart. The Lord will never be cheated by your words. He knew your heart. So the Lord said, "Do not be afraid. I will make you a fisher of men." And hence, you find Simon became a constant companion of our Lord Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, does this sound like you or like me? When we first came to the Lord Jesus, are we in such a kind of situation? On the one hand, we realize that He is our Savior. We are grateful to Him. We would like to follow Him. But on the other hand, as we are following Him, we realize how different we are from Him. How unfit we are. We wonder whether we can make it or not. And sometimes we try to slip away. But our love of our Lord Jesus is constantly upon us. It is not that we will not let Him go. It is He who will not let us go. Thank God for that. If it's left to us, brothers and sisters, we wonder where we will be today. But when God first chooses us, calls us, He will call us to the end. He who calls is able to bring us into that calling. So that is how Simon Peter began his life with the Lord. And then you find in the scripture, after our Lord has been ministering for a time, the Jews as a nation rejected Him. They couldn't understand Him. Even though they were looking for a Messiah, but their concept of a Messiah is an earthly one. They want a Messiah to come, to overthrow the Roman Empire, to deliver them out of the control and be a great nation. That was the type of Messiah they were looking for. So when our Lord Jesus came, and He was looking for men's souls instead of their physical greatness, they were disappointed at Him. They rejected Him. But while they were rejecting Him, the Bible tells us He retreated to the border of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a Gentile city. But when our Lord was at the border of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples a question. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is?" Now, of course, the disciples have heard many reports. Mostly bad ones. Maybe some good ones. So, of course, as a disciple, they will not tell the Lord Jesus about all the bad reports. They try to please their master. So they say, well, some say you are John the Baptist coming to life. Others say you are Jeremiah. Why? Because you wept. Others say you are like Isaiah, the great prophet. And some say you're one of the prophets. In other words, these are all good reports. But our Lord was not satisfied. Now, I often say, if you are Chinese, and some people say, well, you are like Confucius. Now, how will you feel? You will feel over honored. Oh, I'm not worthy, right? If our Lord Jesus is just a man, he should be satisfied. But he is not. He is more than a man. So our Lord Jesus said, now, you have been with me for some time now. You ought to know me better. Who do you say that I am? And of course, Simon Peter. He was like a spokesman. He blurted out and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is his confession. Brothers and sisters, you know what our Lord Jesus said? He said, Simon Bar-Jonah, you are blessed. Why? He said, because this is not something that human beings can tell you. Because the world, at the most, can only see him as Elijah. That's all they can do. They can only see the outward. They cannot see the inward. So our Lord Jesus said, it is my Father who is in the heavens. He reveals it to you. Dear brothers and sisters, how blessed we are. One day, something, some revelation has been given to us. Once we were in sins and transgressions, we were enemies of God, and yet, the Heavenly Father revealed Jesus as Christ, as the Son of God, to us. Christ. The very name Christ speaks of his mission. He was sent by God to accomplish a special mission. And it is the mission to save us and to save us to the uttermost. When our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, before he died, he shouted, "It is finished." In other words, the mission accomplished. And then he lowered down his head and commit himself to the Father. Brothers and sisters, he is Christ. But even knowing him as Christ, do we really know him as Christ? How much is included in his being Christ? You remember then after he died and raised and ascended up to high, what happened? On the day of Pentecost, you remember Peter proclaimed that God has made him Christ and Lord. So the very meaning of Christ is too comprehensive. It's so inclusive. Brothers and sisters, we are just beginning to know him as Christ. We are just beginning to know his work. And we are continuing knowing his work. And to be in his work and enjoy what he has done for us. There is no end to it. And he is the Son of God. That is his person. So far as his person is concerned, he is the only begotten of the Father. He is one with the Father. He is the heir of all things. All God the Father's heart is for him, in him. We hardly know him as the Son of God. We are just beginning to know him. And it not only takes a lifetime to know him as the Son of God, we take eternity to know him. Because if we really know him, God is the only one who knows him. And he is continually revealing his Son to us. And that is the thrilling of Christian living. But brothers and sisters, at least there is a beginning. So here you find Simon make a good beginning. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." A good confession. And on the basis of that, the Lord began to reveal something more. You know, if you do not have the revelation of the Father concerning his Son, there will be no more revelation. But if you have the revelation from the Father that our Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then there is something more that he will be able to reveal to us. So you find our Lord Jesus said, "Well, you are Peter. You are a little stone, a piece of the rock. Now what am I doing? Am I going to do with you?" The Lord said, "I will build my church upon this rock." Now of course, the Roman church think that the church is built on the foundation of Peter because of this verse. But we all know today that this is a mistake. Why? Because Peter is just a little stone, a piece of the rock. And the rock is our Lord Jesus himself. He is the rock of ages. And all who believe in him become pieces from that rock. In other words, we who believe in the Lord Jesus, we receive his life. So even though there is such difference, there is a great difference between a little stone and a huge rock. But the quality is the same. Because it is a piece out of that great rock. Brothers and sisters, why did the Lord Jesus save us. There is a tremendous meaning behind it. He does not save us just that we can go to heaven. I always remember a brother said, if my 2 feet will be within the gate of heaven, I am satisfied. Now I hope you are not satisfied. Because God has called us by His glory and virtue, not according to our need. He must be satisfied Himself. For God to be satisfied, you can see how great is our salvation. He wants us to know Him more and more. So our Lord Jesus said, now you are a piece of the rock. You have become a living stone. We're going to use all these living stones to build upon myself, and that is the church. Who is building the church? Today we find people call themselves church builders. No wonder there are so much problem in the so-called church today. You know, man can only build Tower of Babel. Man cannot build the church. The Lord Jesus Himself said, I will build my church. Now if it is built by our Lord Himself, the gates of Hades will be all open against it, but it cannot prevail against it. If it is of man, even one gate of hell is open, it will overwhelm it. So here you find there is a further revelation. And that revelation constitutes part of our good confession. The Lord said, I will build my church upon this rock. You know, Peter, he understood it very clearly. Because when you read his epistles, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he tells us that our Lord Jesus is the rock, is the stone, the foundation. When we come to the Lord, we all become living stones to be built up together, to be a holy habitation of God. So Simon Peter, he knew it very well, but unfortunately, the world didn't understand. But anyway, you find everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus is supposed to be built up together to be the house of God. So these are the revelations, and these are our confession. Thank God for that. But brothers and sisters, do not think that because you have heard it, because you have received the revelation that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, and you have also been revealed to you by our Lord Jesus, that He is to build you with others to be His house. Therefore you think you're already there. I'm afraid many Christians are satisfied by just being saved. They do not want to go into the fullness that God has meant for us. But God is not satisfied. He is going to work in us until His purpose, full purpose, in you and in me is realized. So you find, after our Lord Jesus revealed these to his disciples. He told them not to talk and not to tell anybody. Why? Because he wants people to receive revelation from the Father. Then the Bible said, our Lord Jesus began to reveal something more to them. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. I will be judged. I will be killed. But on the third day, I will rise from the dead. You know, it seems as if the disciples did not hear, he said, I will rise from the dead. They only hear that he will go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. So you know what Peter did? He took hold of the Lord. You know, the word there is a very strong word. He took hold of the Lord, shook him up, and said, no, Lord, no. This shall never happen to you. Be kind to yourself. You don't need it. He did it out of his goodwill. We will say he did it because he loved the Lord. But actually, in that natural love, he was loving himself. But the Lord knew everything. He knew he was Satan using this man who has just made such a good confession. And if he should listen to it, everything will be finished. There will be no salvation. So our Lord turned and faced him and said, Satan, go behind me, because you are not mindful of God, but you are mindful of man. Then the Lord began to teach them a lesson. He said, if any man want to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you love your soul life, you will lose it. If you lose it for the sake of God, you will gain it to eternity. What is more precious? Even you get the whole world and lose your soul, it cannot be compared. That's a lesson we must all learn. So, brothers and sisters, you will find that even though we did receive some revelation, we did understand that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We even address him as Lord. But look at our lives. How we contradict his lordship in our daily lives. We still want our own way. Not only on ourselves, but even impose it on the Lord. That's where we are. How we need to learn this lesson of the cross. You know, if there is no cross, there will be no Christ. The reason why he is our Christ, because he went to the cross. And the same way is true. If we follow the Lord Jesus, we have to bear the cross. If there is no cross, it shows that we are not following the Lord. Why? Because after God created man, man fell into sin. So the life, the natural life in us, is a sinful life. It's a life under the influence of the power of the air. It was rebellious. So that's the reason why our soul life had to go through the cross in order to be purified. Instead of allowing the enemy to sit on the throne of our soul life, he must be displaced and be replaced by Christ Jesus. So his life will come into our very soul and use our emotion, use our thought, use our will to glorify God. Otherwise, when we are using our will, when we are using our thought, when we are using our emotion, it is under the influence of Satan. That's how serious it is. So, dear brothers and sisters, we need to consider our calling. We need to consider the confession that we have made. Do we really confess the good confession? That will be our testimony. But where are we today? You know, in the life of Peter, again and again you find God interrupted him. He has so many suggestions. And God has to cut him off. Not only that, our Lord Jesus seemed to cut him off immediately after he confessed. But you find later on, while the Lord took him to the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw the glory of the Lord, the kingdom, the coming kingdom. And he was so happy. So again he made suggestion to make 3 tabernacles for the Lord, for Moses, and for Elijah. And he was just sleeping open air. What a sacrifice. But when he was talking, God cut him off. The Shekinah glory of God passed by, covered him, and said, "This is my beloved son. Hear him. It is not for you to talk, but to hear." The Father cut him off. And then you find again, when he was in the house of Cornelius, preaching the gospel, he was just in the beginning of his preaching. He was a long-winded person. And the Holy Spirit cut him off. The Holy Spirit came down upon these Gentiles. So he was not allowed to speak all. Brothers and sisters, you know this is discipleship. This is the reason why we who believe in the Lord Jesus, we need to be discipled day by the Lord himself. We need to learn to deny ourselves. We need to learn to obey the Lord. We need to learn to give up ourselves and allow the Lord's will to go through us. That is our daily exercise. Now this is so far as his revelation of the Lord as a Christ, as a Son of God. In other words, he needs a lifetime to continue to learn what Christ means, what the Son of God means. He needs to use a lifetime to experience Jesus as Christ. And this is our daily experience. Now, how about the church? And you remember, God raised up Peter to be the one who opened the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. But he was a kosher Jew. In other words, he kept everything according to the law, even in his food. So you remember, when he was by the seashore, he was almost known, and he was hungry. He went up to the housetop, because the Jewish house at that time, they all have flat roof. He went to the roof to pray, waiting to eat. And then he was in an ecstasy. In other words, his soul seemed to go out, and he saw a vision. And it was a vision of a great sheet that was recorded in Acts chapter 10. A great sheet coming down from heaven with the four corners hanging up. And when he came down to the earth, he looked at it. And he saw in that sheet all kinds of quadrupeds, all kinds of creeping things, and birds. And then he heard a voice, "Peter, rise and eat." And Peter's reaction was, "Lord, I have never eaten anything unclean. How can I do it?" And the Lord told him, "What God has cleansed, let no man call it unclean." And this happened three times. You can see how stubborn was Peter. Even God was speaking to him. He could not listen because he had to keep his own way. And then that sheet went to heaven. What he was contemplating, what does it mean? And you remember the messengers from Cornelius were knocking at the door. So he went to the house of Cornelius. The Jewish people at that time, if you are kosher Jew, you will not go to a Gentile's house. But he did. And he told them, he said, "The Lord had told me everywhere, people who fear God and do his work, the Lord will remember." So Peter, he began to preach the gospel and open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, what is the church that God is going to build? If you turn to Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Here you find Paul was talking about the church in verse 11, "Wherein there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian and Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is everything and in all." In other words, the church that our Lord Jesus is building is above all human distinctions. You find there Greek and Jew. That is national distinction. The Jews consider themselves as all alone, the chosen people of God. They look upon the Gentiles as dogs, unclean. And of course, in reaction, the Greeks, the Gentiles, look down upon the Jews, consider them as nothing. There was no communication between the Jews and the Gentiles. The separation was complete. You know, even in the temple, there is a wall there. And of the wall, the words, stop here, go no further. In other words, they can come so far into the temple, but that's all. The Gentiles were completely outcasts. But the church that our Lord Jesus is building, there is no distinction. No Jews, no Gentiles. If you go to the church and say, is there any Jews there? It will say, there is no Jew. Then is there any Gentiles there? No Gentiles. But who are they? They are Christians. So all the national distinctions must be left outside of the church. And not only that, but you find circumcision or uncircumcision. There was something very important to the Jews, because the Lord used circumcision as a sign that they are in the commonwealth of God. But here you find in the church, your religious backgrounds have no place there. Everything in the past, even in your religious background, they are all outside of the door of the church. And then, not only that, there is no barbarians or Scythians. I think it's very, very strange. It does not say barbarians and civilized people, because in the sight of God, none is civilized. It's barbarians or worse than barbarians. That's what we were before. But here you find all these distinctions of God. And there's no bondman and freeman. Because at that time, you find under the Roman Empire, there were more slaves than freemen. But in the church, no bondmen or freemen. Now, I still remember in the old days, when we were in Shanghai, Brother Watchman, he has a servant who love him so much. If our brother said, now this dish is very good, then every day he will have that dish. But he honored Brother Nee so much. When we have the Lord's table, he will come in and look where Brother Nee sit. And if he found Brother Nee sat in the front, he would sit at the back, because he thought he was a servant. And Brother Lee will be looking for him, and when he see him there, he will go and get him and sit him by his side. Brothers and sisters, in the church, there is no bondman or freeman. All these human distinctions had to be left outside the church. In other words, when we go to the church, you pass through the cross. And the cross will cut off all these natural distinctions. We are one in Christ. So the Bible said, Christ is everything and in all. He is all in all. Brothers and sisters, when you go to the church, do you see any Chinese? If you see, it's very unfortunate. When you come to the Church of God, all these world distinctions, impossible to cross over, all are gone. They're all gone. Why? Because in the church, you only see Christ. That is the reason why the church is called the Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, even though we are many, even though the body is one, there are many members. Even though there are many members, there are one body. So also is the Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, you find that even if we have heard or we have received revelation that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God, even if we have heard and received revelation that the church is built by Christ, built upon Himself, but Lord, dear brothers and sisters, it takes us a lifetime to really learn what our confession is. We are daily learning our good confession. And the Lord is looking for people who made a good confession of Him and of His will. And brothers and sisters, this is the reason why we are here. Otherwise, we have no ground to be here. So may the Lord have mercy upon us. Brothers and sisters, let's press on. Press on towards the goal. Never stop. Press on. Because there's always something more, something over. So may the Lord bless every one of you. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee that You are the infinite One. Your riches is something there is no end. So Lord, do not allow us to stay put. Do not allow us to go backward. But pray that Thou will continue to draw us and we will run after Thee. Oh, dear Lord, have mercy upon us. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen. Amen.